Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
So I want to invite a friend named Dan Calabrese that actually he is a very dear friend of another friend that we have called Joe Crumpton in Atlanta. And Joe and Dan have been carrying the cross all across the country. And so Dan just showed up the other day, just yesterday. And so I wanted him to come up here and share. Dan, come on up. He's been carrying this cross over many, many states as a witness unto the Lord. And this is the most amazing testimony of what God is doing across this country. And I wanted Dan to take some time and share some of his testimonies. There you go. That's perfect.
How close can it be?
Yeah. Wow. There you go. So can you guys give Dan a warm welcome? It is so good to have. So I've asked Dan to take some time and just share just some stories and testimonies of what God has done in his life. So take it away, Dan.
Wow. First of all, I'm humbled, and it's an honor to be here with you. I know what you're going through. I've seen it. I've seen it in a lot of places, and what you guys are going through. God's going to heal you. God's going to pull you through this. It's not going to be easy, but he will do it. Before I get started, I want to ask for Cowboy Dave. Dave, will you stand up for just a minute? Just come on, man. I know you're humble. All right, I'm going to point him out. He's right here with the yellow shirt. Cowboy Dave's been here for probably 7 days after the flood, and he's over here on the corner on Highway 70, and he's just there praying for anybody that needs prayer. I was with him last night. Multiple people have been healed and set free because of Cowboy Dave. And I've known him for, basically for a year now. But we've traveled in a lot of the same places. We've been to Maui for the fires, Eastern Kentucky for the floods two years ago, Uvalde, Texas, the hurricanes down in Florida. Both of us, I believe you were there, as well as Mayfield, Kentucky for a massive tornado that took a number of lives there. But we just became really close friends last night, and so I praise God for that. And so if you get a chance, stop by and see Cowboy Dave on that corner, because he's here to help heal, and he's going to be here for a long time. He's not going anywhere. So thank you, Dave. I just wanted to point that out. The Lord this morning put some scriptures on my heart. The Lord put two scriptures on my heart this morning that I wanted to share. You've probably heard many of these, but 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." So we know that he's looking out across the entire world, and who can he use? He's choosing us as long as we're willing to give him our yes. And that's what this is all about. What I've seen in the last, just since I got here yesterday morning, has been an entire community willing to give him their yes. And when we do that as a community, it's going to change everything. And then Isaiah 6:8, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" And that's what I see in this room. I'm telling you, the Lord's here. I feel it, man. I'm telling you, I'm going to get emotional. Because when I saw those baptisms, this is a special place here. And I've been all over the country, and there's not very many like this church. So I want to thank you for having me. So Pastor mentioned a friend of ours named Joel Crumpton. And back in, during COVID, when we were all kind of hanging low and not really, you know, doing anything, I'm from Michigan, so I'm just from a little town outside of Detroit, and our governor shut the whole state down. I mean, you couldn't even buy paint at Home Depot. You couldn't even buy seeds to plant in your backyard. That's how shut down we were. Anyway, so it was early in the morning. It was dark, and the Lord was speaking to me, and he told me that he had an assignment for me, and I had no idea what it meant. I said, "Lord, show me," and I just kept praying and praying and praying, and I didn't know. I had no idea. And so about this time of the year in 2021, in 2020, it was a Saturday afternoon. It was a beautiful day just like today, and my wife, I'm in my house, and my wife says, "Come here, you got to see this. This is incredible." And there's a pastor, and some of you may or may not have heard of the North Georgia Revival in Dawsonville, but it's an incredible revival that's going on for 6 years. If any of you get a chance to get there, you got to go, man. It's incredible. The healings, thousands and thousands of people have been healed and set free. But anyway, so this pastor, we had been to the North Georgia Revival a few times, and Pastor Todd Smith, who heads up the revival there, was in Georgia. He was in a little town called Cumming, and my wife says, "You got to see this," because he's on Facebook Live, and there's a guy walking down the street with a 10-foot wooden cross, and as soon as I saw it, my heart, I just started to cry. I knew exactly what the Lord wanted, but I didn't know what to do. I had no idea. And so I reached out to the church. I reached out to Christ Fellowship Church in Dawsonville. I said, "You got to get me in touch with this man." And his name is Joel Crumpton. And Joel's been walking with the cross for probably 20 or 30 years. And he's been part of a number of revivals throughout the country. And they put me in touch with him. He got me the plans. And he just kept encouraging me and mentoring me. And it took me a while because the enemy kept coming in and stopping me and distracting me. I mean, you got to build this cross. And I knew I had to do it because the Lord said, "You got to do this." But I couldn't get myself to do it. It was so many things were coming up against me. And I got sick and I just was laying in bed. And I said, "Lord, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you." It was when you do this, when you heal me, Lord, I will build that cross. And the minute that I got out of that bed, I started building the cross. And this cross is built out of cedar. It's about 65, 70 pounds. There's a prayer cloth right in the middle from Georgia. But I thought the cross was only for Detroit, for the Michigan area. That's what I thought. But, you know, God had such a bigger plan. I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea what he had in store for me. And so I was walking around in Detroit, and we were praying with people, and people were getting healed and delivered. It's pretty amazing, like, because Detroit's a pretty good sized city, and we'd be walking down some of the main streets, and people would be chasing us down, you know, and just crying because the Lord's been speaking to them, and they fall to their knees right on the side of the street and give themselves and dedicate themselves to the Lord. And that was great, and that was wonderful, but he had a bigger plan even than that for what this cross meant. And this isn't about me. It's about the message. And so if you can, back in November of 21, we had a school shooting just outside of Detroit. There was like five or six teenagers that were shot and killed by one of the fellow students. And we had a vigil there on that Friday. It was the Friday after Thanksgiving, actually. They had a vigil there. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, "You need to take the cross to the vigil," just so that he wants everybody to focus on the message of the cross as opposed to their heart, their hurting at that moment. If they turn to the cross, that he can heal them. And so I got to the vigil, and I showed up, and I had the cross just standing right up in front. And within 15 minutes of the time I got there, there were thousands, maybe 2,000 to 3,000 people at the vigil. And this is a picture, if you can see it. This was the front page of Fox News, and you can't really see me there, but that was their main picture, and this went all over the country, probably the world. And the Lord spoke to me that next morning after I saw that. He said, your cross is not just for Michigan, but this cross is for the entire world to see. And I want you to take it wherever you go. Wherever I tell you to go, I want you to take it. So I've got dozens and dozens of testimonies, but there's just a couple that I wanted to pick because I could be here all day. There was a moment about a year later, and everybody knows when Roe versus Wade got overturned. But the Lord told me it was going to be overturned. I knew it was coming, and he told me to prepare, and he told me he wanted the cross to be at the Supreme Court the day after Roe got overturned. And I knew this was going to be a very controversial situation, and I didn't even know whether I would be coming back with the cross or not because of the enemy was just rampant there. And one of the reasons why he wanted me to share this testimony with you today is because, as Pastor said, we have one of the biggest days, one of the biggest votes coming on Tuesday. They're saying, according to the polls, we're 50-50. So that basically means that that half of the people that are out there are thinking the other way. And so this testimony that I want to show you is what God can do. Because I know that when I see somebody that wants to vote the different way, wants to go against, wants to pro-abortion and all of this, I don't even want to talk to them. I didn't want to talk to them. I didn't think there was any way that God could do anything to help them because they are so far gone. That's what I thought. So all of our neighbors that are thinking that way, you see certain signs in the front yards, you know, it's like, well, they're too far gone. I don't even want to speak to them. So I want to show you this video. And this video is it can get a little graphic. There's a little bit of cursing in it, so I apologize for that. But this is the sort of thing that we do face when we do take the cross out. And so this video was right in front of the Supreme Court of the United States, right between the Supreme Court. There's hundreds and hundreds of people there. And all the yelling and screaming that you're going to hear is all focused directly on the cross. We don't have to say a word. The cross does all the talking. We don't have to say a single word because it speaks its own language. So if you could show that video. Yeah. That's what we face as Christians when we go out there and we put our faith on the line. And we just have to stay true to who what we believe in. We have to stay true to God, okay? Because the enemy is there. They're going to come after us. But this next picture, if you could show the next picture, this is the guy that was chasing us, and he chased us for 30 minutes at least. Chased us all over the place. This is him. Look at that face. That was what we were faced with. And so 30 minutes later, God had a different plan. Watch this. There's a picture. There's a picture of that man on. You guys must not have it. I'm sorry. He was on his knees, and we were praying for him. 30 minutes after that video was taken, he was on his knees, right on the Washington Mall, and we were praying for him. And he was giving himself to the Lord because he realized what he had done. Is that amazing? I'm telling you. And so, whatever's happened in our neighborhood after Tuesday, okay, we need to pray for these people because God will turn them. He can turn them. He's got all the power to do it. Our mighty God can do that. So one of the next testimonies I want to share with you was back 2 years ago. There was a massive hurricane in Florida. It was called Hurricane Ian, and it took a lot of lives. And so I was with another gentleman, and we were down there, and we were there actually 2 days after the hurricane had hit, and it was not unlike what you guys were facing here. It was almost identical situation, okay? Destruction everywhere. Everybody's power was out. Nobody had any gas. I mean, it was awful, just like what you guys are faced with. And we were trying to get onto Sanibel Island, where the water had just come right across it and wiped out the bridge. The whole island was underwater, but it had at that point it had receded. We were trying to get to the island so that we could take the cross and we could pray with folks. They wouldn't. We got all the way up to the very front. We waited in line for 2 hours. We got all the way up to the very front thinking that we would be able to get on it, and then the Army turned us away and said, no, I'm sorry, you can't go there. And I said, well, where can we go? He goes, I can't tell you. And so I turned and I looked to my left and I saw down this little street, I saw this little trailer park. And I'm like, the Lord says, you got to go there. That's where you got to go. So we turned and we went down this, and it looked just like Tunnel Road out here, like just off the river over here. The whole area looked just like that. And we got the cross out. And if you can show that one picture, that's the one. This gentleman he rode the storm out. The water, I don't know how he survived. The water was all the way up to within 6 inches of the roof of his trailer, but he stayed. And he knew that the only way that he survived was because of God. And so we found him inside his trailer, and I just simply said, have you asked him if he's ever given himself to the Lord? And he said he had not done that. I said, what are the coincidences that you've just gone through this? I said, when's the last time you saw a 10-foot wooden cross come walking through your neighborhood? Okay? He said, no, I've never seen that before. I said, well, then don't you think now is the time? Is it now the time to get right with God? And he said, 100%. So we brought the cross. We had the cross right there, and he comes out of his trailer. And while he's on his knees. He's the man without the shirt on. While he's on his knees giving himself to the Lord, this is the New Yorker magazine was there, and they were snapping shots of it. And this was featured in their news, on their magazine. The media loves this because this is controversial. They love the cross. They do. They, regardless of what we hear out there, how they don't want to talk about it, about faith and everything. But when they see the cross, they know controversy surrounds it, and they love that. That's what the media loves. And so whenever we take it out and the media's around, they're like magnets on the cross. So we've been real fortunate where we haven't had to really take pictures of our own. We haven't had to do that because the media will take pictures for us. These are just a couple of testimonies that I wanted to share with you of places. The cross, we've had the cross in 26 states since I built it. Like I said earlier, it's been in Maui. It's been to Florida. It's been down to the Texas border earlier this year. It's been in a lot of rough situations, various school shootings. Police officers that went down. We've taken it to their funerals, and so it's been a lot of places. But I want to tell you what. One of the greatest testimonies that I've seen in the 3 years that I've been carrying this cross is what's happening right here today, right here in this little community. Because as I was driving in yesterday, I'm seeing trucks from all over the country coming here. And I know Dave, because he's been there with me. He's been there and seen these communities devastated. Usually I get there maybe 3 or 4 days, maybe 5 days after the events occurred, because there's nowhere to go. You can't get housing. You can't get rooms. You can't get water. You can't get gas. But what happens is this, is that a short period of time after that, the attention goes on to something else. You guys, this has been 5 weeks, and what I'm seeing happening out here is like it just happened. And what I mean by that is that I'm seeing people coming in. We prayed with a guy last night from Oklahoma who took work off. He's over here sleeping in a tent outside of the Harley-Davidson just to build tiny houses for the people. And I'm like, this is incredible. This is what we would see normally, like the first week or so, after all, with all the attention is on it, and then it all dies down. This is, you guys are, what's happening here, God is touching and breathing on this, and it's just absolutely incredible. I've not ever seen this before, and I don't see it stopping. And what's happening here, Pastor shared a story with me yesterday that he didn't know. Why did this little church, why you guys? Hey, but look at what's happening here. I mean, you can't make it up. You can't make up all the stuff that's happening. The Walmart truck shows up and is dropping stuff off. You can't make it up. And how about yesterday? I'm watching food coming in. It's like you didn't even ask for it. And all these meals are being served, and all these people are being taken care of, and all these people that are in line have lost almost everything, and maybe some of you have too. But I'm going to tell you right now, God is breathing on this, and he's touching each and every one of you. And I just want to say thank you for just letting me be a small part of today's service and allowing me to just to be present with you guys today. So thank you. So, Pastor, yesterday while we were out there, because he's had some people giving donations, and he was busy, and so he handed me some money to hand out to folks, and so I had an opportunity to do that. And I don't know if any of you have ever been on a treasure hunt, but what a treasure hunt is basically is you pray to the Lord, and you ask him to show you and reveal to you a person that would fit this basic description and so on and so forth. So that's what I was doing. And the Lord gave me this person, and he told me that she was pregnant, and it was definitely a Latino woman. It was definitely a Latino woman that she was pregnant. And I searched, and there wasn't one. I couldn't find anybody at this time. I couldn't find anybody. So at 6 o'clock, after you guys, we had closed here, I took the cross and I was walking it down over by the, what's the other church over here? Right around the corner where you guys are doing your intake. Restoration, where you guys are doing your intake. Anyway, there was a woman that was driving out of there, and God says to me, he says, you need to go to her right now. So I walked up to her. And she rolled out in her window, and I asked her, I said, is there anybody in your family that's pregnant right now? And she just started to cry. She started to weep. She said, how did you know? I said, Sam, I had no idea. But God just told me 5 seconds before I talked to her that you needed to approach her. And it wasn't her that was pregnant, but it was her sister, and her sister had lost her job because of the hurricane. She was out of work. She had no idea where she was going to be going or where she was going to be staying. She had no idea, and she was pregnant. So she was going through all of this, and we were able to pray together, and I was able to bless her with the money that came directly from your church. And so it's an ongoing thing. You guys are just such a blessing to the entire community, and you're a blessing to the country. Because this is going, what's happening here, what's happening right here in this church is going out all over the entire country and the world. And so thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and share one thing, one verse. And I'm watching this unfold before our eyes. And it's amazing to think that in Psalm 110, verse 3, it says, your people, also another version says, my people, will volunteer freely in the day of my power. And I am witnessing something that is supernatural. It's a miracle. It's God. God's power is actually in our midst. And because of the presence of his power, people are rising up and coming and volunteering from all over the country. This last Saturday, there was probably 30, 35 volunteers, and they all showed from out of state. And I'm like, how did you get here? We were to come and help. And they're from Michigan, and they're from, from Maine, and there's one even came from Alaska. And I'm like, they're all coming. And it's not because of anything that we are doing, God's power is present. The scripture says that then my people will volunteer freely, give of themselves in the day of my power. And I'm watching this unfold before me, and I'm seeing God bring in the people, bring in the resources, and the money just keeps coming in because the need is so great. But God says, I shall meet your every need according to my riches and glory. So therefore, as the needs are there, all of a sudden the resources are becoming there for the people. And in that, we're able to help those that are distraught, that are hurting, that are needing help. And what we're doing is that we're experiencing something that is a miracle in our midst right now. And we're watching God transform people's lives and touch them and heal them. And he's doing it through many means. I mean, the scripture says this in Isaiah 65:24, I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. I want you to go. I'm seeing this fulfilled in our midst right now. Like last night, we fed over 2,000 hot meals. That's a lot of meals, guys. All right? And we had a source that was providing the food, but then again, we ran out. And all of a sudden, Jeremy looks at me and goes, Dad, we got another 150 people to feed. And who shows up? Two people with truckloads or just trunkfuls of food. And it's like all of a sudden people are bringing in roasted cooked chicken, and they're bringing in hot dogs, and they're bringing in. And it's like it showed up right when there was a need. And I'm like, God, you are doing something incredible in our midst. We run out of bread. What happens? I walk right down the road, and a guy weighs me down the road, and he says, sir, I got a tractor trailer load of sliced bread here. Do you want some bread? And then I can tell you countless stories of where we need Hispanics to speak Spanish. We have 60, 70% Latinos in the line. We had 200 cars at one time wrapped around this whole U right here. This thing goes around. 200 cars this yesterday in line. And it stayed consistent that way for a long time. And in that, they're lined up out there. 60, 70% of them are Hispanic. And so the other day, we didn't have Hispanic speakers. So I grabbed someone by their hand. I said, Lord Jesus, we need some Hispanic individuals that can speak the language. So no sooner than we said, amen, two of them start walking up to us. And I'm like, we're here to serve. I'm like, only you, God, can do this. I'm like, listen to this. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. It's like when we have a need, God's saying, it's on the way. I mean, only God can do that. But see, we're experiencing a miracle happen because God's power is present and people are just showing up. I had someone the other day who said, I need a chainsaw because they had to cut down a bunch of trees. Well, guess what just shows up? A brand new chainsaw. And I'm like, well, there's your chainsaw. You know, I can just tell countless stories, but I just want you to know we have the opportunity to co-labor with God to see the good news of the gospel, the power of God reach a hurting people in this whole valley. And I believe, I'm gonna leave this with one last word. In 2023, Eliza got a word as we were having a prayer meeting here in this sanctuary. And the Lord said to her that Swannanoa will be a beacon of hope. And some of you might not know what this area is about, but the beacon plant used to be right down there in the valley, didn't it, Jim? And the beacon plant caught on fire. The beacon plant was they were the employer for the whole valley. All those little homes down there were employed by beacon plant. And when the beacon plant caught on fire, it burned for a whole week. And it was so hot, you could feel it as you draw by on I-40. It was that hot. It burned for a whole week. And all of those people lost their jobs. And now you have a hurricane that wiped out their homes. You guys, if you haven't been down there in some of those regions, their homes were underwater. So they're full of mud. You know, they have no electricity. And it is, I mean, there right now, they say there are 1,700 displaced families that are in Swannanoa that are living right now in hotels in Greenville and Spartanburg. And Eliza got the word in 2023 that Swannanoa will be known as a beacon of hope. And you know what God is doing? He's giving beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The Spirit of the Lord is here to replace the ashes of Swannanoa into something beautiful. And this whole region is going to be known as a beacon of hope for this whole area. This little Swannanoa-where has become on the map because God is going to do a great thing. You know, he chose Bethlehem, which was not even, I mean, Bethlehem, to give birth to our Savior. It was a very small little town, but out of that small town, the greatest act of mankind was done in the birth of our Savior that brought light and hope and encouragement to the whole world. So the Lord right now has got something on his mind, and that is this. He's come to save. He's come to seek and save the lost. His heart is for the broken. If you want to know where Jesus would be, he'd be walking down in Swannanoa right now. He'd be walking around the houses. He's came to seek and save the lost. He's going to leave the 99 to go find that one that's lost. That's where Jesus is. I had the opportunity to pray over all the men down at the Harley-Davidson place. That's a search and rescue part down there where they were flying in all the helicopters. And I was able to do a short service with them. I sat on the back of a bed of a truck and just dangled my feet off the back of the truck or the whatever, the tailgate. Yeah, I don't have a truck. I want a truck, but on the tailgate. So it's on the tailgate, and I sat there, and I felt Jesus walk amongst them. And I said, you know what? I just want you all to know something. This is church. This is where Jesus would be. He was down there with those that are going out and seeking and saving and looking for the lost. It was not easy what they were doing. But it was just so beautiful to know that Jesus, his heart is moved with compassion for this whole area. There are so many people hurting. I can't tell you to look into the eyes of this couple yesterday, and they were in their 70s, and they have a beautiful home right down there in Beatrice, and it was took all the way down the river, and they stood there with nothing. And they said, do you have any home that we can find, anything affordable, anything temporary, anything? We'll sleep in anything. It's just hard. It's hard to hear that. And so the Lord's heart is moving with compassion for Swannanoa right now. This is really kind of the epicenter where a lot of stuff has taken place. I know there's a lot happening in Burnsville. There's a lot, Chimney Rock. My mom and dad used to live there, and that's gone. Chimney Rock is in the lake. But Swannanoa got hammered. And you know what? When you're hungry and you're hurting, And you need to know that someone's out there and they care about you. It's wonderful when they can come here, get a hug, get a prayer, get a hot meal, get some bleach to clean out their homes. You know, it's just, it's an incredible opportunity that we have as a church. And I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't. Because the need does not seem to be dropping. It's not. And so I think we're, you know, if there's another phase, it's we've been in the, I think, the triage stage. We were just here to help stop the bleeding. I think there's going to be a part of it where we're going to try to help people get, you know, safe living, affordable homes, or just have their homes rebuilt, but restore their lives and have the opportunity to have hope once again. So I share this just to let you know that I think that the Lord is, his heart is breaking, but he's also well pleased with what is going on in our midst. And Dan, I thank you for coming and just sharing and just being here with us.
The one of the things that the Lord has, he gives me, is I get these little crosses from Bethlehem. They're handmade in Bethlehem out of olive wood. And I'd like to, for the two things, I'd like for the four people that were just baptized today, if they could come up, I'd like to give them some of those crosses. And then I'd also like for all of the kids that are here today to be able to have one too. So just to know that the Lord is never, he's never going to leave us or forsake us. He's always here walking with us no matter what we're going through. So thank you.
Thank you. Amen. All right, let's all stand. Father, we thank you that, Lord, when you looked over your people, and, Lord, you saw the multitudes, it says that your heart was moved with compassion because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. They were scattered and abroad. And your heart was moved with love, with a desire to meet their every need. And so, Father, I just ask in the name of Jesus that, Lord, your heart would be put in our heart, that we could feel what you're feeling for the people, that we could see them through your eyes, that we could help them through our hands, that we could be your hands and your feet in your eyes. And we ask, Lord, that you would put it in our hearts, Lord Jesus, your desire to want to go and seek and save the lost, to look for that one that's hurting. And Father, I thank you and I praise you that many needs are going to be met in this area by your strong, outstretched arm. You will save your people. With a strong, outstretched arm, you are going to snatch and grab and save your people. So, Father, I'm asking today that your kindness would be released upon us, because it is your kindness that leads us to repentance. And, Lord, I thank you that your word says, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." If there's anyone here that maybe you've known the Lord, but you've kind of walked away, I want you to know today's the day to come on home. Just to come on home. Come back to Jesus. If you've never known the Lord before and have never called upon his name, he's saying, come on home. Come to me, all that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So if today you know you need to just respond to that beautiful sound, come to me. I want you just to respond to it. I want you to come forward. I want you just to come and receive this good news that Jesus has come to save and to heal and to deliver. So if you know you need to come on home, I want to invite you to come on up. Just come on forward and let me pray with you. Let me just bless you because Jesus loves you. So if there's anyone here that just needs to know Jesus, I want you to come forward. Father, I thank you for this wonderful church. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this church that's been set apart for you. And Lord, I ask that you'd bless and keep each and every one. Father, I'm asking that you would make your face shine upon them and be gracious to them. And you would lift up your countenance upon them today and give them your peace. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.